You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Past episodes of the Authentic Business Adventures program can be found on the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. My name is James Kademan, entrepreneur, author, speaker, and helpful coach to small business owners across the country. And today we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Robert Zabia. Robert has had his own insurance agency for, it looks like, over 25 years. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah. Can't believe it's that long.
That's a long time to do anything.
Yeah.
So, and it looks like you, I guess what interested me most about you is that you have a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah,
besides
too much.
Just the insurance agency. So let's start 25 years or so ago when you got into the insurance business.
Okay.
Because typically that's not something where people are 10 years old dreaming of being an insurance agent.
No, especially when your dad's an insurance agent and he comes home cursing every day.
Oh, yeah, that's even worse. So how did you end up in this industry?
When I graduated college, I was in the automotive business, and I graduated college. So I stayed in the automotive business because I'm into cars. And, so I was selling, you know, computer systems to, auto parts stores and inventory management, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was a senior guy there after 5 years. It's one of those kind of companies.
Oh, nice.
You know?
Okay. Revolving door.
So, yeah. So, most of my friends went on to work for Microsoft, IBM, you know, all kinds of companies. It was like a launching point. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people. And, you know, so I was talking to my dad about, you know, the opportunity that I was looking at to make a move, because I've been there for a while and it was kind of getting old. And he said, well, Allstate has this new thing where I can sell you the agency. So I never really wanted to get into insurance because I didn't want to be an insurance agent,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, you know, and again, listening to the complaints that he had, you know, being a one man band,
mm-hmm.
you know, the idea of running an agency is what kind of, you know, drew my attention to it.
All right.
So that's why I made the move. I ended up going to work for him. And after a year, actually Allstate hired me to become my own agent. So I stopped working for my dad. I opened up my own agency.
All right.
And eventually I bought my dad out. You know, he continued to run his, we ran them together. He ran his agency, I ran mine, and then he was ready to get out, so I bought him out.
Wow. So initially, not only were you in the insurance world, which you were not a big fan of, but you also had to work for your dad.
Yeah, worked for my dad for a year, yeah.
So that alone had to be a challenge.
Yeah, it was good, though. I mean, you know, being out, I think if I went right out of college to work for him, I think it would have been different than me going out and being successful on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I own my own house at that point. You know, I was doing really well.
Yeah.
You know, so I think I kind of earned his respect that he wasn't just, you know, I had the marketing and sales background. You know, he was an entrepreneur. He owned a Coca-Cola route. You know, he sold that, and then he came into Allstate. You know, so he was always, you know, but he was self-taught. You know, he didn't mm-hmm. he didn't get a college degree. You know, and he just knew insurance really well. So it was a good mix because he knew the insurance side and I knew sales and marketing. So it was a good fit for us to work together. And I think by being on my own, I kind of respected him more, knowing everything that he had to do on his own without having a formal education.
All right. Very cool. So when you had your own thing, and I guess for a few years, it sounds like, were you guys competitors to a point?
No, well, we shared an office. So, So I had my own agency, but we shared an office. I mean, he had, you know, when I went to work for him, my job was to bring in new business. You know, I only worked on, you know, on working on the new people coming in, whereas he worked on his existing clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of his business was referral. You know, he was doing it for 20 years himself.
Nice.
So, you know, so basically I was out, you know, networking and telemarketing and, you know, doing all those things. And he was just outriding me, just doing referrals. So,
that's awesome.
So it was good. And, you know, and then, you know, we hired staff, we continued to grow, you know, so we just kept going on from there. And,
right.
you know, so we went from basically it was three of us. When we opened up the office, it was my dad, myself, and we hired like an office manager, customer service person. And now mm-hmm. I've got, you know, 13 people working here.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big size for an agency.
Yeah. Yeah. We grew it quick.
That's cool.
Yeah, my dad had a good size agency on his own, and then when we merged the two, it, you know, we really, you know, accelerated that.
All right, nice. So in 25 years, what has changed in the insurance world?
Oh, everything. You know,
everything.
Everything. Yeah, back then, you know, people would walk in, they'd have their copies of their policies and say, "Hey, can you beat this?" Mm-hmm. You know, it was very much more personal, whereas now people are just going online getting quotes and having no idea of what they're doing. It's so much easier for people to change insurance. Mm-hmm. So the relationship part of it is much more important.
All right.
You know, three of my people, their only job is just to reach out to our current customers and make sure they're happy. You know,
wow, three of them.
Yeah, three of them.
Oh, wow. That's
so, you know, they call our customers, they, you know, the policies come up for review, renewal. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they do all those kind of things, which is not common in the insurance business, but that's why our retention is so high.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't know what their insurance is. Like, they think it's just a matter of, you know, save 15% or more, you know, but it's not. It's, you know, yeah, you save 15% or more by cutting your coverage 20% or more.
That's funny. Interesting. Yeah, I would say that I don't know of many businesses, let alone industries, where follow-up is a routine thing, just to make sure, hey, are you doing okay?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of it's, you know, electronic now. I mean, we have, you know, the email drips that go out. So it's not as much dialing out as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of emails, a lot of, you know, even texting is becoming a big part of it now.
Oh yeah.
So we're leveraging the technology, and we only call the people that we feel are the highest, you know, like if we see somebody's rate goes up a high percentage, you know, we'll reach out to them because usually something changed. So we'll reach out to see what changed that drove that. Sometimes it's just a rate increase and we have to work through it.
Mm-hmm.
But rates have been pretty stable over the past couple of years. We haven't seen many rate increases. So if somebody's rate does change, something changed. So gotcha. We can kind of work them through it. And I think that's why people stay with us and they do refer us.
All right.
You know, so, and then networking is becoming like, we're doing the opposite. Everybody's going to internet and, you know, and Facebook and all that stuff. And we're spending most of our time networking with people.
Actually, talking with them one-on-one, or,
well, you know, with realtors, mortgage people,
gotcha.
You know, the people that could refer us business. So we're spending a lot more time, you know, with those in person, because I mean, obviously this past year, our business totally changed.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's dead a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, now Zoom has become a verb, you know?
Yeah. Right. here we are.
Everybody's zooming out. And so we're, like, we started teaching, classes to realtors. Now we're doing them on Zoom. So we're doing a lot of stuff to kind of support our network, but like now we're finally getting to do in-person stuff. So we just, 2 weeks ago, we had our first in-person realtor event that we helped sponsor.
Oh, nice.
You know, so it's, yeah. So that's really where it comes. When you start doing these in-person events, then people get to meet you, and, you know, the realtors don't really think about the insurance, because here in New York, it's months before you go to closing. So usually it's the mortgage people, but we find that if we stay in front of the realtors, they, you know, they just realize that it's a good thing to have us as a partner.
Right. Yeah. I think that that's a street that goes both directions. So it's easy.
Yep.
Easy to refer. You guys are both chasing after the same crowd. So
exactly. Yeah.
Why split forces? You can join them. That's cool. Yep. So I did a little homework on you, and it looks like you were the man of the year.
Yeah.
For Model Citizen Magazine.
Yep. Yeah.
Can you, I guess, I don't know much about Model Citizen Magazine, so I don't know if that's more of an East Coast thing or if that's,
I think it's, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much, I think they have a little, like, you know, that was the Long Island version of it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a magazine. It's been around for a while, and they kind of focus on people that work in the community.
Okay.
So I met the editor years ago. I won Leukemia and Lymphoma Man of the Year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. So I ran for that. We raised like $190,000 in 10 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty, pretty wild. So I met John that way. And then, you know, he would always be at a lot of the fundraising events that I'd be at. So I worked with a lot of different charities, and, you know, I just saw him as a photographer. I didn't realize that he had any affiliation. And, you know, and he'd be always taking pictures of me at events, and, you know, then he asked me to do a photo shoot, and he interviewed me, and he said, "Oh, you're up for Model Citizen. You know, you're going to be, you're nominated for Model Citizen. So we're going to do a spread on you this month."
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. I guess they have a committee that kind of picks, you know, the people that are going to be the Model Citizen of the Year. It's, and it goes to people that work in the community. There was a Woman of the Year. There was also a Couple of the Year. And, you know, all of us kind of know each other just because we're all in the same, you know, fundraising and charity circuit.
Fun. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Recent, right? We're talking 2020.
Yeah, it was this. Yeah. It was just last year. Yeah.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Given
that. It was a surprise. I never expected it.
Nice. And then you have a shoe business, it sounds like.
No.
Was there a foot thing going on?
No.
There's a mention in the Man of the Year article that it sounds like there are other businesses that you have besides.
Well, I'm doing the C classes. I started that. No, I'm not doing anything with shoes. Oh, no. Okay. There was a guy, the other guy who was up for Man of the Year. He has a shoe business. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
My mistake there.
Yep.
But you, it looks like you do something with houses as well. Is that right? Or with real estate?
Well, I'm working with the realtors and teaching them the classes, you know, gotcha. The CE classes, and I'm doing training for them. And yeah, so that's like our big thing is we support the Long Island Board of Realtors. It's our local, you know, MLS and realtor board. Gotcha. So we do a lot of work with them and helping them. Like we did a whole thing on open house safety because they were nationally, it's been a big problem where realtors at open houses are being attacked.
You know, really?
Because they're seeing these realtors and they see their pictures all over, you know, town dressed up all nice. So they think they have a ton of money. So they've been problems. So we've been raising awareness for that and teaching them different ways that they can, you know, help protect themselves.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, neither did I. Not until I got involved with them. I had no idea.
So is the idea that some bad person comes in there and says, give me all your money at the open?
Yeah. House? Well, yeah. I mean, there were people that have been seriously hurt.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One woman, I found out about it because I was involved with an event that I sponsored and it was a class that they did on this. And it was basically put together by a foundation for a woman who was unfortunately killed. They kidnapped her, you know, and they ended up killing her thinking that she was worth millions. So we teach like different things to the realtors that they need to do to, you know, protect themselves, request ID for everybody. Don't be in the house alone. Mm-hmm. You know, if, you know, things like that, we talk about, you know, always arrange to have somebody else there, or if you can't have somebody there, you know, have somebody like a phone call away and know mm-hmm. that you're going to be there, you know, alone.
Right.
So all different things that, you know, we try to help them with.
Interesting. So these continuing education credits, did you have to get certified or how does that work?
Yeah, I went to a friend of mine. She is a title insurance person. And so I've actually sponsored a couple of her CE classes. And I saw how she would have all these people in the room and how they treated her differently because she's teaching a class, not trying to sell them on using her for title insurance. And I looked and there weren't anybody teaching classes on CE for insurance related type topics. So, I hooked up with a school and the school got me certified and they helped me. I put together the classes and then they kind of got them approved. You know, they had to manipulate them, you know, to make them a class, you know, for continuing ed. And as a matter of fact, my next one I have is tomorrow morning. I'm teaching. I do them like every Tuesdays. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I try to do them like once a month. So I'll do one Tuesday, one Thursday a month that I do them. And then also I'm having like some of the local realtor down the block asked me to do one just for their office.
Wow.
So we started doing stuff like that. So yeah, it's really cool.
All right. So you come up with the curriculum or is that something that?
In this case, yeah, I did. I came up with it, gave it to the school and the school got it approved.
Nice. And the school's, I imagine, affiliated with the Realtor Association.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, no, this one is like a school. They just teach all different types of continuing ed. Real estate is one of the ones that they teach.
Gotcha.
And it's cool because they have a really nice platform that, you know, when I hold a Zoom class, it logs them in, logs them out, sends them out the CE certificates. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So the school does all that. All I got to do is show, you know, get people to show up and I show up and teach a class.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
And people say, hey, by the way, what do you do? And I suppose it's an easy way to side market.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about what they need to know about insurance, whether it's flood or home or whatever. So eventually they come across somebody who ends up needing help. So then they're like, oh yeah, cool. I remember them. They, you know, they taught that class. Let me give them a call. So that, that's been working out. It's been a good mix.
That's cool. And I imagine even though you're in New York, which everybody, like, it's a big place.
Yeah.
But I imagine in a little silo of real estate agents, that shrinks the place awfully fast. So
yeah. Well, there's, just in my area, there's like 25,000 realtors.
Is there really?
Yeah. Just in the association that I'm in.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, a lot of them aren't active. You know, it's probably a third of them are actually active selling homes. A lot of them just carry a license.
Sure. That's the,
but still, even that, you know, 5,000, 6,000 realtors, that's a lot of people.
That's still quite a bit.
Yep.
Well, how many you have in a typical class?
Usually we've had anywhere from 15 to my biggest one I've had so far online with Zoom has been 50.
All right.
When we've done them in person, we had like, we would have like 90 to 100, but then you're feeding them. So more people show up for that.
All right. That's awesome. But I imagine after a year or two of doing that, you have at least the movers and shakers.
Yeah. What's good is, and then you develop a following and then they come and they bring their friends and they're like, oh yeah, he's helped me out with this deal or, you know, my team is really good. You know, we really focus on the needs of the realtor, you know, so we don't, when we get a referral, we're not hard selling them. You know, we're teaching them what they need to know if they want to get a cheaper price. Cause you know, with XYZ company, we just tell them what they need to do if they're going to do that and what to look out for.
Right.
The beautiful thing about our business is the policies renew every year. So, you know, that's, you know, so if I don't get them now, eventually we can get them down the road.
Sure. That's fair. I want to talk about employees as you and your dad, and then you alone essentially had to expand your business. It had to be tough finding people to work. I imagine agents and all that kind of stuff.
It's the hardest part, I think, of any business is managing and hiring and retaining employees. Yeah. We've had some doozies over the years. You know, and it's funny because when I first got in, I never had an employee. I worked for a computer company. You know, I was, it was just me, you know?
Yeah.
So when I had to fire my first person, it was like, my dad was like hard nosed. Yeah, no, you're going to do it. Like he made me, you know, he made me go through the process of getting rid of him. So it was good though. I mean, and now after doing it for a while, you kind of realize that, you know, sometimes you're doing them a favor by letting them go, you know, because if you have somebody and they're really not doing well, they're probably not happy anyway.
Right.
And I've had people that, you know, we're a much larger agency than most. And I've had people that it just doesn't work for them. It's higher intensity here. It's more pressure. And I had one woman that just like, you know, she had a lot of personal stuff going on and mentally she just broke down and I just had to let her go because it was just not a good fit. Now she works at a smaller agency. She's like pretty much like running the place, like her, the agent and one other person. And she's doing really well there. So, you know, sometimes, you know, it's better to let people go than really to hold on to them.
Right.
I think that's the biggest problem I've always had is, you know, hiring too quick and firing too slow, you know, and now we've kind of reversed it. You know, my hiring process, it's now several interviews. They meet with me, they meet with my team. I have an outsourced sales manager that I bring him in for training once a month. So he'll interview them as well. I think that's really a big part. That's the other part I think that a lot of business owners have a problem with is none of us have really ever done it. You know, so it's not, I'm a sales guy. You know, I've sold, you know, from the candy bars when I was a Boy Scout to, you know, insurance now and, you know, $100,000 computer systems in between. You know, I was always a sales guy, but I never had to manage people. Like to me, sales comes naturally. It's part of my personality. You know, I've been through so many videotape trainings and in-person Brian Tracy and all those, you know, all those guys.
Oh yeah.
You know, so for me, a lot of it comes natural and I've had a hard time teaching that. So for me, it was, I found I was in a training class and, you know, and I'm like, I know all this stuff. I just don't know how to teach it. So I'm going to hire this guy to teach my people. And it's made a world of difference because they've really helped me, you know, identify what I need to be doing. Like I had one guy who was just not working out. I hired him during COVID. I was kind of giving him a little benefit of the doubt. He wasn't selling anything. And, you know, and I was like, you know what, you know, let me just see how he does. And the guy was like, he goes, Rob, if this guy sells a policy this week, are you going to keep him? I'm like, no, he goes, just get rid of him. You know, and that, you know, and it's like, you know, sometimes you need that like little push. So I think having, you know, a coach, like it's funny. I always said hire to your weakness. I'm a sales guy. I'm not very detail oriented. So my first hire was a detail oriented person.
All right.
You know, so I think you need to hire to your weaknesses first, and then you need to get coaching for those things that you're not good at. And I think too many people are too proud, you know, and they're too cheap to spend the money. And, you know, I mean, I paid a pretty penny to this guy over the past year to come in and help me out. And you know what? It was definitely worth it. My sales are up. You know, I've identified what works and what doesn't. I got rid of the stuff. Like some of the things that you just, it's good to have that outside source to help you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I would definitely recommend, you know, there's plenty of sales training companies out there. We all know them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're having even the sale, like if you're a good salesperson, if you're going to be bringing people in, you might need a sales manager to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hire these companies and they'll do the training and do the one-on-one class, you know, meetings with the staff. Like I didn't know how to hold, like I've been through plenty of pipeline management things with my sales manager, but I didn't know how to really run it. So those are the kind of things I really learned. Like I took advantage of the shutdown and the slowdown in business over the past year to kind of retool. And, you know, I brought in Pete and, you know, he's helped me with a lot of these. And it was funny because he was like, you know what, you don't need me anymore. And then I decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm hiring somebody. I want you through this process. So let me extend it, you know, for a couple of more months and then we'll see how we're doing then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really good. Like our calls now are not as like, I'm not learning as much, but it's a more validation. And I think having that outside person is really a big help to have an outside coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, man, I see people all the time when I'm coaching people, I'm telling them 90% of the time, I'm not telling you something that you're like, whoa, that's mind blowing. Yeah. You know what to do.
Right.
Sometimes you just need another voice or another person that's maybe not your spouse or your coworker to tell you.
Exactly.
So I even have this little bracelet. It's the what would I do that I give to people? Because I'm like, just ask yourself for advice. And most of the time, it's probably pretty good advice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We've all been through this stuff, but sometimes, you know what, like sometimes you could just be too nice of a person. You don't want to
totally,
you know, you don't mm-hmm. want to do it. Like I had a guy, I told him, I just hired the guy. I'm like, get licensed. You know, you'll start, you know, you get licensed and you'll start. And I'm like, I want you to come in Thursday so we can fill out the paperwork and put together a game plan. Thursday mm-hmm. comes and goes. I email him, no response, no nothing. He sends me an email 10 o'clock last night. I'm almost done with the licensing class. I'm like, where were you Thursday?
No.
You know, and it's like, I can't, you know,
no.
My office manager's like, I'm not training this kid. You know, if he can't show up and listen to directions, we don't want him.
Right.
You know, and he's it a young kid. Like- and, right. I mean, I'm like, come in on Thursday so we can like put together a game plan.
Yeah, that was the hurdle that he didn't overcome.
Yeah, and it's just Thursday. Like, whoa. You know, exactly. You know, come in on Thursday, fill out paperwork, and let's figure out where you are with licensing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he, you know, and it's just like, if that's going to be like the first thing, he's like, oh, I apologize, miscommunication. I thought you wanted, you know, it's like, no, you were supposed to come in Thursday.
Right.
And you said, yes, I can come in Thursday. And Thursday came and went, and you weren't here.
Yeah, there was no miscommunication. Was
yeah, just- exactly.
Got ghosted. Was that a younger kid, older person?
Yeah, well, he's like in his 20s, you know.
Okay.
No, you know, he went into nursing and, you know, I saw a lot of potential. Like, this was going to be a project. That's the other thing. He's going to be a project. He's not going to come in and contribute right away. This is going to be a guy that's going to be like a 6 month to a year. Teach him the insurance business. Teach him how to sell. Spend a lot of money on him. And, you know, and I can't be spending money on something. Like, I got another guy who I hired. I was hiring two at once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my other thing is now I hire two people at once because, you know, one of them's not going to work out.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I did that. I hired this guy, that guy, Jacob and Carrie. I hired Jacob and then Pete, the sales trainer that I work with, is like, hey, I got this, you know, person, Carrie. She's a friend. I helped her get a job at this insurance agency. And because of COVID, they let her go.
Mm.
And he goes, she's a really good salesperson. I'm like, if you're telling me she's a good salesperson, I don't care if I can afford it or not. I'm going to bring her in.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, one of them aren't going to work out. So, and if they both hit their numbers, they'll both pay for themselves. So who cares?
Right.
So, yeah, Jacob was gone and Carrie's like my number one salesperson right now. So
not that fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. So, I love when you hire someone and they just knock it out of the park on day.
Yeah. You know, it took her 6 months, but you know, it's, you know, she didn't really know. She just got licensed when they let her go.
Okay.
You know, so I guess they didn't want a project through the pandemic.
Sure.
And, you know, but we just hit it off. Like she just had that personality. My office manager's like, yeah, we got to get her. And we brought her in and it's been great. She, you know, it's a family. When you have a small, I mean, yeah, 12, 13 people sounds like a lot, but it's still a small family.
Totally.
You know, so, you know, having that chemistry is a big thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, were since you, she just fit in.
Yeah. Are you all in the office now? Or are you guys remote?
I have two people remote. The rest of us are in now. During the pandemic, we had 3 to 5 people in at once at the most.
Okay.
My salespeople, I forced them to come in as soon as it was safe. Mm-hmm. The salespeople I found just didn't really do as well remote
as
service people. Yeah. All right. I think the camaraderie thing is a big thing with sales.
Totally.
You know, helping each other, especially people that are new and being able to just poke over your cubicle and say, hey, I have this problem, you know.
Yeah.
So So whereas my service people did well, but still, even with them, they were doing a great job of servicing, but there was no cross-selling. There was no referrals coming in. So as soon as they opened it up, you know, we did this. So, I mean, my desks are all, everybody's got their own cubicle, so they're not sitting on top of each other.
Right.
You know, we're in a business where when people sit at your desk, you're having conversations. So I couldn't have an open floor. Mm-hmm. So I set up cubicles, which ended up, and we moved during this, which was a nightmare. Really? Oh yeah. In November, my lease was up and the landlord was just nuts. Like, you know, I'm like, you're not even close to what the market was before the pandemic hit.
Right.
And this, you know, this one building I was looking at, he dropped the rent once the pandemic hit. He goes, yeah, I really want you in here. I'm going to drop it to this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to save all that money and get a better layout. Yeah, I'm in. So we ended up moving in November.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's a nice, this is a better layout for a pandemic too. So we have, everybody's got a cubicle so they could be separate.
Yeah.
You know, they can have, we have plastic shields for when a customer's sitting at their desk. You know, so we did all the things to make sure that they were safe, but I do have two people that, you know, one is recovering from, being sick. So she, you know, she's high risk. So, you know, she's working from home. And then I have a telemarketer who actually just works better at home. So I just left her at home. Yeah.
All right. Was it a challenge or has it been a challenge to communicate with people where some are in the office and some are remote?
Well, we were doing Zoom, like, you know, like, cause even now I have, you know, a couple of moms, you know, so there's days where they, you know, so even when I have a sales meeting, sometimes they'll Zoom in if they don't happen to be in. So the Zoom thing has really helped out. So I set up our meeting area. I set up with a camera and a TV. So when we do meetings, we Zoom the people in, that can't be here live.
Nice.
When we were like pretty much except for like the 3 or 4 of us in the office, then we just would do a daily Zoom meeting just to touch base. Be like 15 minutes, you know, just to touch base as to what's going on. This is where we're at. This is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
We really only had one bad month and that was April.
All right.
You know, we were down last year, but I mean, it was really only one month where it was like really, really bad. And that was, nobody was doing anything. You know, nobody wanted to switch their insurance. Nobody wanted to do, you know, we were saving people money and they were just like not having it.
Right.
You know, they just wanted to stay where they were until things. And then June, we like killed it. So
nice.
Yeah. And then, but it was still like June, I think it was the pent up from the 2 months, but then it kind of slowed down. So we were down last year overall, as far as new business, but our retention actually crept up because nobody was leaving. You know,
the big thing
we have now is people moving out of New York and going down to Florida. That's like our biggest problem.
All right. And is that because of weather or is that because of?
I think it's more the political and taxing environment we're in right now.
Totally fair.
You know, my parents moved years ago. They were just, my dad was like, I'm not paying these taxes anymore. So they moved.
All right.
So I think that's a big part. Property taxes here are nuts. You know, the income tax here is high. So, you know, people just get to that point and they're like, you know what? And I don't have to deal with the winters, you know. So
there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Coming from a guy living in Wisconsin.
Exactly. My wife's from Minnesota. So I, yeah, I get it.
So you know the story.
Yep.
You know the story. You guys, East Coast gets it as well. So
yeah.
Get that. I guess with the insurance industry changing with employees and all that kind of stuff, what have been some of the other challenges that you didn't necessarily anticipate even from your dad that you've had to work through?
Well, you know, you're always looking at new competitors coming in. You know, Amazon is talking about doing insurance. Tesla is talking about doing insurance.
Oh, wow.
Technology, you know, like Allstate now has a thing where they plug a device in the car and you get a better rate depending on your driving habit. Mm-hmm. Now you have, you know, the car companies are now starting to come out with their own insurance. Like they're partnering with companies and creating their own you know, like there was a big scare that people weren't going to, you know, because now the millennials, they're not going to buy houses. They're not going to own cars. They're not going to do any of that. And it's like, yeah, we've heard all this before. So like that was a big scare in the industry. And it all obviously now the millennials are buying houses like crazy and there's no houses to be found. Mm-hmm. So with the house obviously comes two cars because, you know, there's only so much you can do with Uber.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that kind of was a scare, but the competition is changing. You know, people are a little bit more willing to do self-service now. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have to compete with that. But the good thing is that, you know, they leave us and 6 months later, they have a problem and they realize that they relied on us for the advice.
Yeah.
That it isn't, insurance is not really a self-serve thing because you're putting all your assets at risk.
Right.
You know, we had a client, his daughter wasn't paying attention, rear-ended a Ferrari, $108,000. And she didn't even hit it that hard. It was $108,000 worth of damage.
Oops.
You know, so, you know, if you go to one of these 800 numbers and you take the standard coverage that they offer, which is 50,000, mm-hmm. Well, where are you coming up with that extra $58,000 worth of coverage?
Right.
You know, and people are like, oh, I'll never hit a Ferrari. Okay. Change it to a Tesla. That's 80 grand. Where are you coming mm-hmm. up with the extra 30,000?
Right.
And people don't, they just don't understand it. They all, you know, they say, oh yeah, I want full coverage, but you know, well, what does that mean? You know? So it's still a business that, yeah, people are willing to do more self-serve. And we find that, which is why I like working with the realtors, a lot of these first-time home buyers, yeah, when you don't own a house and you just are going out to the dealership to pick up a car, you'll take the cheapest insurance because you don't own anything. The car is the most expensive thing you own. Mm-hmm. Well, now you're buying a house and you call that 800 number and they don't know how to pronounce your town, much less where it is. Mm-hmm. You know, especially I'm in Massapequa. You look that one up. You know, so, and there's different, you know, home insurance, Wisconsin's got totally different risks involved than Long Island does. You know, our mm-hmm. thing is, you know, we don't get the big winter storms, but we have the big hurricanes. So with us, it's like a once in 10 year type thing. With you guys, your pipes can freeze every year, you know, right. If you don't take care of it right. So, mm-hmm. So, insurance is a niche business, you know, you need to really kind of specialize in something. So I think there'll always be a place for an insurance agent, but we need to keep up with the technology. The texting platform has been huge. You know, right. It's, you know, like our phones used to ring off the hook and, you know, I've been on this, my phone's hardly rang, cause everything's email and texting now, mm-hmm. You know, they still want that person on the other end, but it doesn't necessarily have to be on the other end of the phone. It needs to be on the other end of the email or the text.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally understand that. With Calls on Call, my answering service, we always say we're a communication service because there's a lot of people that are just afraid to pick up the phone, even to order a pizza.
Yep.
Let alone get insurance or something like that.
It's just, yeah.
It's a different world.
Yep.
There's more channels to communicate and you have to be prepared with all of them. So
right.
I totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's challenging because it used to be easy.
Yeah.
Which is, we got email and phone. Which one do you want?
Right. Well, I mean, I remember back in the day when my dad was in the insurance business, everything was on paper.
Oh,
you know, so like he would actually go to people's houses and sit with them at their dinner table and like write their auto and home insurance applications right at their houses.
Wow.
You know, but that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, everything's now done over the phone. You know, people used to have to come in. Like I remember when somebody was buying a house, they would have to actually come in and get the original paperwork to bring to the closing. And they wouldn't accept faxes or emails or anything back then. So, yeah, you need to make sure that you're keeping up with the changes and evolving with it. Mm-hmm. And and keep a tab. You know, I pay a lot of attention to, you know, different sources. Like, was it Owl? I think there's a thing Owl that has a lot of industry type stuff on there, okay. You know, like email things where you get like different things that are going on in the industry. So you can see what the competition's doing, what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, you really need to keep tabs on those kind of things just to figure out what's happening out there.
Sure.
I mean, I hired two of my great people. They both work for Liberty Mutual. And hired them is because I heard through the grapevine that Liberty Mutual was going to lay off all the customer service people and go to a call center in Texas.
Ooh.
So I went on LinkedIn and started reaching out saying, hey, listen, I hear this is what's going on. When you're ready, give me a call. And I ended up, you know, hiring one and she came in. She worked out real well. And I'm like, I had somebody who was going out on maternity leave. So I went to her. I'm like, hey, any of your, you know, I know the Liberty Mutual money is going to be running out in the next couple of months. Do you have any of your friends that are looking? And right. She introduced one of her friends and we hired her. And the two of them have been here, you know, for several years now.
Wow.
So yeah. So if I didn't keep tabs on what was going on, I would have never knew. So I had the groundwork laid before they even were laid off.
Well, that's clever.
Yeah. So things like that are really important, keeping up on what's going on in the industry, in your, whatever industry you're in.
Yeah. That's awesome. Does Allstate help you keep tabs on stuff, or do they?
Well, a little bit. I mean, you know, they keep us, it's weird. Allstate just went through a big, you know, a big change. So we used to have 13 regions. Now we have 4 zones, you know, so we used to get a lot more personal attention because, you know, New York was its own region. Mm-hmm. You know, and our regional vice president was like, he lived 5 blocks from me, you know, I mean, you know, whereas now they're now the zone leader or whatever, I don't know what his title is, but he's down in the Carolinas, you know, running from down there. So we don't have, you know, we used to have like, there was one manager for every 20 agents. Now it's like 50 agents, you know, and there was like 4 layers between us and them. And they flattened that out. Cause you know, they're, a lot of the companies are starting to realize they can cut costs. Mm-hmm. You know, and flatten out a lot of the management levels, which is good because, you know, a lot of times we're looking at like, what do these guys actually do? You know,
yeah, I'm a people person.
So, you know, so yeah, now it's like, you know, it used to be the regional vice president, the regional sales manager, the territory sales manager, and then my sales manager. Now it's the zone guy, the territory, and my manager. So,
all right,
you know, it you know, it flattens it out, but we don't also get that personal attention that you used to get. So kind of a little bit a little bit on your own, but you have a good, if you have a good manager, they're keeping you up to date on what's going on.
Gotcha.
So we have a Facebook group of Allstate agents, and that is huge. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so a lot of information is shared. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on that we all help each other out.
All right. And has Allstate, in your opinion, been able to adapt with the Geicos and whatever that short mustache, you know, cartoon is or whatever?
Yeah, I know. It's tough because there's a big thing. Do you really want to try and, you know, like Geico passed, you know, as the number one company or number two company now. We used to be two and now Geico passed us, but they are because they're writing the stuff that we don't like, we wouldn't even consider. They write a lot of high risk stuff, high risk drivers. And, you know, so, you know, we need to, I mean, Allstate's got to do a better job with the technology to make it easier for customers, but it still comes down to the advice. And, you know, people are not going to get that from Geico or Progressive. You know, you still need, you know, somebody who's in a call center who's never going to talk to you again. You know, they don't care. They're going to sell you whatever you need to get you off the phone. And I even see it with an Allstate, that Allstate agents have sold people policies that didn't meet their needs, you know? So, I mean, it's just the in general, it's not just a company thing. It's just, you know, just what happens in sales. Right. And, you know, my type of business, you know, the way I run things is I want to be able to sleep at night. So I'm not going to tell anybody whatever they need to hear just to make a sale. We're going to explain things. If they don't want to pay the extra money and they want to cut coverages, well, that's fine, but that's not going to be our game. You know, if they want to cut coverages, yeah, I'll go with, you know, higher deductibles, lower coverages, if that's what you want, but you're going to sign the application acknowledging that that's what you want. Whereas a lot of these companies, they'll say, oh, no, it's the same exact thing. And I'll get people like, oh, yeah, I saved $1,000 by going to this other company. I'm like, okay, send me the new policy. And they send me the new policy. It's like, this is different. You don't even have this anymore. And they're like, I had no idea. And that's the thing is the companies know what people look at. They look at the deductibles and they look at their liability. They don't look at anything else. They don't know what any of the rest of this stuff means.
Right.
So that's really where we come in to make sure that, you know, that's what we teach people. And like I said, when we get a referral from a realtor, it's like, yeah, you can buy a home policy from company XYZ that's not even, you know, financially rated by AM Best, or you can go with an A-rated company that we represent, you know, like Allstate or some of the other companies that we write if Allstate won't write it. But I'm not going to write through these substandard carriers because in California, 2 of them went out of business when they had those wildfires. During Sandy, when we had that years ago, there was a company that if it wasn't bailed out by a hedge fund, they were going under, you know? So, you know, we only deal with the companies that we know we're going to, you know, after going through a Sandy, you know, you kind of realize how important this stuff is.
Yeah.
And it kind of solidifies, you know, what we do.
Interesting. Can you talk just for the people that don't know about the AM Best and the rating for insurance companies?
Well, yeah, AM Best rates bonds. They rate all different things, and they rate insurance companies based on their claims paying ability. So there's a lot of companies that sell really cheap insurance. Like there's one company, I won't mention the name. There was one company, they were like, and I would just like, yeah, well, that's that company. Of course, it's $900 a year when we're two. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they do. And they don't write business anymore. All right. They got so financially, strapped that if there was a major storm, they wouldn't be able to pay the claim. So they had to shut down writing new business.
Oh,
so that's the game is, there's a certain, there's overhead and all that, but there's risk and reward. So, like Geico writes all these high risk drivers, they lose money on that and they're okay with losing money. For every dollar that an insurance company takes in, most companies pay out like 90, 95, 96 cents. Geico's paying like $1.10. So they're losing money on every dollar they take in.
It seems like the wrong direction.
Yeah. And there's only so long they're going to be able to do that,
Right.
So, and that's what we see is a lot of these companies that come in with a real low hot price and then boom, 30% increase like in the next year or two.
All right.
So AM Best just like looks at the financial stability of a company and what, if a major thing, are they going to be able to pay claims? So like we had a company that we were writing a ton of business for, if Allstate wouldn't do it, we would write it through them. And they just took on so much business, they got downgraded. So we had to stop doing business with them.
All right.
So that's really what it is, the banks will require in an A-rated company, if you're going to have a mortgage. So that's, that's one of the reasons why we only deal with those. So some of them will overlook it because there's other companies out there besides AM Best that will rate insurance companies, but
okay,
they'll give almost any company an A rating. Like it's crazy. Yeah. So that's what AM Best is. It's just, it's a rating, it's a rating thing. And they just look at, like Allstate's and A-State, Farm, Travelers, they're all A rated carriers.
Okay. I imagine there has to be some government insurance regulation, something or other that says in order to be an insurance company, you have to be able to afford.
Yeah.
X percentage of claims, I imagine.
Yeah. Like there was a thing. I guess. Yeah. Well, in New York, it's like the worst. Like they are so crazy, ridiculous with the, with the regulations. And
well, okay. It was the other way.
Yeah. New York is so regulated. They don't look at the financial rating, but they will force a company to stop doing business if they feel the company is going to be insolvent, because the state has a fund if a company goes insolvent to take care of the claims.
Okay.
So there is a point, but the a lot of these companies that, like this company that got shut down, I don't know if that's why they shut down. I don't know if the state shut them down, but they just stopped writing new business. So the state does have some say in it. Especially in New York, like you can't get anything done in New York without, like, you have to, if you want to do a rate increase, I'm going to file. There have been rate decreases that Allstate filed that the state wouldn't let them do because they thought it was too much of a decrease and they didn't want the company to be financially strapped. So they wouldn't do it. You have to justify everything in insurance. It's probably one of the most heavily, that and banking are extremely heavily regulated.
Okay. All right. So I just think if I wanted to start an insurance company, that'd be tough because I'd have to have a huge nut in the bank.
Yep.
And then go out and sell from day one.
Right.
Insured person number one, they get in a car accident when I'm still trying to write policies.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to have a huge reserve. And that's where, what Geico does is the reason they're, it's an underwriting profit. They're making an underwriting loss, but they're making the money up on the investments because Warren Buffett's going out and buying railroads and, you know, Goldman Sachs stock and Coca, he's doing stuff like that. Whereas most insurance companies are buying, shopping malls. And I mean, the companies are starting to get a little bit more sophisticated in their investments because they realize they got to make, because you can't make money in, fixed instruments anymore.
Right.
But there's a lot of consolidation because of what's going on with that. There's 20% market share is like unheard of. And, and that's what Allstate has in New York. It's like,
wow. So
yeah, one in five cars in New York are insured by Allstate.
Wow.
So that's really, whereas in Wisconsin, you'll have 20 carriers I've never even heard of. There's State Farm, Allstate are big companies out there, but you'll have American Family and Farm Family and companies that we never hear of. When I'm out in the Midwest, I see all these little companies that I never heard of before.
Yeah.
Because out there's not as, it's not as strict as it is here in New York as far as what the regulators require.
All right. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. In Madison, where I'm at, it's American Family headquarters.
Yep.
QBE. A headquarters. I don't think it's the headquarters, but a huge campus.
Yep.
That's Progressive. And I think a few others.
Yeah.
And then north of us, there's, Century. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. It seems like they're all in like the Chicago, Wisconsin. A lot of them are based out there.
Yeah. I always wondered why.
Yeah.
What's so special about this area? There's a lot of snow wrecks that they're chasing, or I don't know, whatever it is. I'm going to talk really quick. We don't have a ton of time, but I always like to ask people about their family, how you balance being a good father and all that jazz, husband, and running a business, dealing with employees and clients and all that jazz.
Well, I think one of the reasons I did this is because my dad was always at my games.
Oh, nice.
You know, so it was always a, you know, you created your own schedule. So I like that idea. What, you know, when you become an owner though, versus a sale, you know, when you're a sales rep, you hit your number and you take your time. When you're responsible for training and managing staff, you know, then it makes it a little bit different. So having the right people in place is huge. You know, like right now it's my son plays lacrosse.
Nice.
So there's two or three games a week. I'm at every game, you know, I'm cutting out, you know, 3:30 and, you know, as a matter of fact, they had AP exams. So I had to go pick him up from school cause he missed the bus. Cause the AP exam ended before the bus left, you know, picked him up from school, him and his friends, and drove to the game, you know, and got them there just in time for the game to start.
Awesome.
You know, so that's what's cool about being, you know, if you have the right people that you can do stuff like that. Now, yeah, there, you know, and it's funny because my wife's like, why are you working at 8 o'clock at night? Well, so that way I could take days like that.
Right.
You know, so that's the nice thing. You know, unfortunately, I'll be down in Florida visiting my parents and I'm on my email and stuff like that. But, you know, I have the flexibility that I can pick up and go whenever I want. And I think technology has made it a lot easier to do stuff like that. Cause you know, now we have ways to track, you know, we can track our sales and I can see what's going on and, you know, emailing back and forth, like, you know, so we've done a lot more, digital than the in-person sit down around a table type, you know, like even when I set up this new office, I put a couch in. So this way I can have sales meetings, you know, cause it's still good to do that.
Totally.
You know, but still we, now we're able to do things a little bit more virtually. So I think being able to let go, you know, my dad was a total hands-on, you know, we would get into fights. He goes, well, what's going on with, you know, with so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't know. Ask Vicky. He's like, well, why don't you know it? I'm like, cause I pay Vicky to worry about that. You know, you know, whereas you can see that was the thing is he was a solopreneur and, you know, we came in and, you know, changed it. So I think that's the, you know, that's the advantage of scale and building a larger business is, you know, if you hire the right people, then you don't have to, you know, you can balance that time.
You don't have to have your hands in everything, right?
Right. Exactly. So, and there's, you know, and I'm not that guy. I mean, I like to do the things like I have ADD. I mean, they have, my staff got me a squirrel on my desk because I'm constantly off on the tangents.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so, you know, and that's where you really kind of know what your thing is. And that's, you know, so I have people that can worry about the detailed stuff. And you know, I focus more on that bigger picture type stuff and the sales and relationships. I'm good at the building the relationship. So I'm out meeting with the realtors and meeting with the mortgage people. And, you know, I had breakfast with a real estate attorney this morning, trying to put together game plans on how we can both feed each other.
Nice.
And, you know, introduce people like we each have a network. Let's introduce our, you know, each other to the other network, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that I do, you know, instead of sitting down, I don't, you know, like if you called me for an insurance quote, I wouldn't be quoting your insurance. I'd give it to Carrie or Shannon or,
totally,
you know, one of my other people and they would be doing that for you. I would just get you in the door.
Right. Yeah.
So I think too many business owners try to do it all.
Oh, to a fault. Yeah. Absolutely. It's the difference between owning a job and owning a business.
What was that? The E-Myth, right? That's what E-Myth, that whole
touched on it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the E-Myth was a big, you know, for me, it was like, I'm reading it and I'm like, yeah, okay. I know this already, but but that was me. Like I came in here when I came in to open up with my dad and it was the three of us, the location we even opened up with, I had it in my head what it was going to look like with 10 people there.
Nice.
You know, okay, so
well done.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really, I think that was where I knew I was going to, I mean, that's why I came into this. Because this is the kind of business that if you build it the right way, you know, a lot of my friends at this point in their career, they're out playing golf. I'm not done yet. You know, I got twins, you know, they're going to college in the fall. So I got a lot of money to be laying out over the next 4 years.
All right.
So I'm not ready to go and spend half my time on a golf course. And I'm not a golfer to begin with, but you know, so I'm still in that building mode. So that's why I'm still like, I didn't need to hire somebody in much less two. But I know I can, there's so much now that I've got these relationships coming in and I know how to duplicate that, you know, I want to keep doing it until I'm ready to the point where I'm going to be like, okay, now I'm going to hire somebody to manage that whole thing. And I'm going to become an investor. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's where, you know, the phases of business are, you know, when you start out, you're doing it all, and then you just keep placing one task at a time until you basically replace everything. And you're now just an investor. I got a friend of mine who, you know, he's always putting up pictures of him. He's an Allstate agent in Alabama, and he's got pictures of him at his farm up in Ohio. You know, I mean, you know, the guy is all over the place, and he's at that point in his career where he's, you know, he's got, you know, he's got a coaching program too. He coaches insurance agents as well as running an agency, and he doesn't even do the coaching anymore. You know, he's got somebody doing the coaching for him, so now he's not done it only as an Allstate agent. Like, he replaced himself in the agency, become a coach, and now he's replaced himself as a coach.
That's clever. You know,
so, I mean, that's really, you know, where, you know, and I'm still learning the skills. Like, he was way ahead of me on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning the skills on how to do that, but that's really what, you know, I'm constantly investing in myself and, you know, hiring a coach, because, you know, I always said, you know, when you think you know it all, that you're on your way down.
Yes.
Because everything's constantly changing. You constantly need to update yourself, and you need that outside voice to kind of tell you, you know, what you need. And, you know, and I've worked with a lot of different coaches and all different types of coaches, and I've never regretted, you know, a penny of that money that I spent.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was at my son's baseball practice yesterday, and he's like, oh, baseball practice is so boring because I already know this stuff.
Right.
I'm like, this is a 7-year-old kid. Yeah. Like, well, Major League hasn't called yet, buddy. So just because it's boring doesn't mean you don't have to practice.
Right. Yep.
It's kind of funny. He's on top of his game for a 7-year-old.
Right.
But not.
Yeah.
There's room for improvement, I guess, with.
Right. Anyone. Start playing with the 9-year-olds and then see where you are.
He's this man, 25 years. I feel like the way that you're growing now, you'll probably get 1 in 3, or I guess it'd be 1 in 3 if my ratios are right. You're 1 in 5 now, Allstate's got around New York area.
What do you mean?
Oh, that you guys have insured.
Oh, yeah. Allstate's got 1 in 5. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's your pay. You should get 1 in 3. That's cool.
Yeah, hopefully.
Nice. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening to this on the web, which you probably are, please give a thumbs up, subscribe, and of course, share it with all your entrepreneurial friends. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Robert Zabia of the Zabia Insurance Agency. Robert, where can people find you?
ZabiaAgency.com.
And Zabia is Z-A-B-B-I-A. Yeah, I made that mistake emailing you earlier today. Only one B. So Zabbia.
Yep.
Awesome. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night. Found at the podcast link at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.